Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why do I have a feeling this presentation on ADHD is going to be challenging for those of us who have been told we have ADHD? This is Wretched Radio. Most likely, and I mean statistically, most likely you too have ADHD. Why? The DSM-5, it reigns. Anybody who meets the descriptors of hyperactivity disorder, you are given a label and you are told you probably need medication to help you with your ADHD. Now, this is a drum. No doubt you've heard us banging because of Dr. Greg Giffert's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, which you can pre-order still at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Received an email from Rachel. She said she was listening to a fitness podcast and they were talking about ADHD. Now, the name of the podcast is Make Fit Simple. The host, we don't know who she is because we couldn't find her last name, which is a little weird. She just goes by Andrea. Or is it Andrea?
I think it's Andrea. I think.
Andrea.
Well, that's how I say it.
But. So your mother's sister, what is her relationship to you?
She's my aunt.
No, did she live in a little with a bunch of other aunts? And does she scurry around and build a hill?
Thanks, Todd.
There's a U in there for a reason, you know. So Andrea, without a last name, had an ADHD expert, an ADHD coach on her program. And Rachel sent it in going, oh, wow. I heard it. What Greg Giffert has been talking about, it was like, wow, there it is. So whether you have the ADHD or not, this will, I hope, be a helpful exercise for you in recognizing the unscientific nature of all of these diagnoses, not the least of which would be ADHD. Here's the ADHD coach.
So back in the day, they would look at the boy in the classroom who was the poster child for ADHD.
That's pretty specific right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't like in the 1980s. No, back in the day.
So back in the day, they would look at the boy in the classroom who was the poster child for ADHD, bouncing out of his seat, calling out, distracted, was...
Me. When you have so much to say, just sitting there and letting the teacher do all the talking.
Impulsive and outwardly hyperactive. And those boys or girls, but less likely girls, were the ones who got diagnosed in school because the teacher saw it, they proceeded and got the ADHD diagnosis.
Yeah, that is correct. Boys far more so than girls, as she's about to mention. But I would also suggest, I know this is imputing some nefarious intent to these teachers that like to get their kids drugged, but they're harder to manage. The boys are squirrely and they're all over the place and they can be, and they're just a little bit harder to control. And so they get diagnosed more.
Okay. The girls, though, were so much less diagnosed. I think it was 3 times less of a diagnosis because they're.
Jimmy, I think she might be from Canada because.
Her hyperactivity very often was internal. Or their impulsivity was internal. So it was
here's what it means to have internal ADHD.
Psychosomatic.
Wait a second. Psychosomatic? I'm thinking it, but it ain't real. I've now got ADHD.
Me, I had very much lived with anxiety and racing thoughts and comparing myself to other people, rejection sensitivity, all
rejection sensitivity. Yeah, because most of us, we don't mind being rejected. But if you do kind of dislike that, then you've got rejection sensitivity. All clinical language.
These emotional dysregulations that I thought were...
Emotional dysregulations. You're a kid. That's practically the definition of a kid. Emotional dysregulation. That's what it means to be a child. That's why you need to mature and grow up and start thinking better.
Or due to anxiety, but I didn't know it was due to ADHD at the time.
Ah, did you hear that? It's not me. It's my ADHD that caused it.
I'm until 16 years after working with ADHDers. So, yeah, girls and women are learning more about themselves now. And a lot of this mental health awareness started in 2020 when we had more time to just be present and learn about ourselves and learn about our partners and learn about our children. And
well, not only that, but the government locked us down and we couldn't go to a playground and we couldn't go to church and we couldn't go to the market, at least not without a mask. Maybe that was a part of it.
And then from our children, then we learned about ourselves because it's very genetic. So we're seeing an increase in women understanding themselves. And then, of course, getting more diagnoses if it's possible. But in some countries, it takes years to get the diagnosis, the official diagnosis. So it's not that they weren't there the whole time or we're overdiagnosing for the people who are actually having an ADHD diagnosis. It's just that psychosomatic symptoms weren't outwardly being shown.
Jimmy, would you be kind enough? Psychosomatic. I want to make sure I think it means what I think it means.
Okay.
Psychosomatic is imagining something that isn't. That's psychosomatic, I thought. But apparently in this person's world, those psychosomatic things are generated because you've got this mysterious thing called ADHD. Where does that reside? What part of the brain? What chemical is off? Oh, yeah. They don't have any of that testing. They've got none of that. It is merely assessing somebody's behavior. And instead of calling it their personality type, we call it a disease label, ADHD. This is not helpful for our kids.
So for boys, they were displaying it. And for girls, it was often on the inside.
Correct.
So it just wasn't seen. Yeah. And I do feel like that's very classic of women where it's like, hold it in, keep it in, keep it together, girl. And we don't always externally portray what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we feel.
What does this have to do with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? That you're practicing discretion. Maybe you do need to reveal your feelings more. But this is now a disease?
Confident about what we feel, insecure about all of it. We just sometimes keep it inside. So that is really, really interesting. And then we know that in recent, I don't know how long ago, but they've kind of now link everything under one diagnosis now instead of just saying
under one umbrella. So it's, they don't have the ADD diagnosis anymore. So that is now considered ADHD inattentive.
Because more people then qualify.
So the umbrella term is ADHD. Then there's the inattentive, which used to be ADD. And then there's the hyperactive impulsive, which used to be ADHD. And then there's the combined type, which displays symptoms of both. And that's what's in the DSM-5 right now, which is...
My head hurts. Jimmy, psychosomatic.
Psychosomatic disorders result from stress. It may include hyper...
Wait, no. I didn't ask what a disorder is. The word psychosomatic. Definition from Merriam.
Relating to or involving or concerned with bodily symptoms caused by mental or emotional disturbance.
Ah. See, now I always thought that psychosomatic was just something that wasn't real, that's imagined. But even... if I'm right about that, that's now a clinical definition. This is far more of a mental illness. Okay, you think that maybe somebody's talking about you. Well, you've got ADHD because it's a psychosomatic, whatever Jimmy called it. How's about maybe you need to stop worrying about it? The Bible says quit worrying about things like that. Don't fret over things that aren't. The Bible can help with this. Everything is a disease model.
The diagnostic criteria that therapists and medical professionals use. Yeah. But they're moving away from breaking it up because those three categories can really shift over time. So a boy who might have been hyperactive, and I keep saying boy, but it doesn't have to be a boy, right? But the hyperactive child might not be so hyperactive externally when they're older.
You mean... they grow up? No, it must be the medication that helped.
So the symptoms can shift from, category to category.
This is so cruel. This is so unscientific. This is so chasing after. Feathers fluttering. Seeking after this never manageable range of emotions that are being given psychosomatic labels. You learning anything else about being psychosomatic?
No.
Because I imagined you were. Oh, wait, I think I've got ADHD. Please consider getting Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. He actually spends a fair amount of time with ADHD because his son has almost been diagnosed with it twice. When you hear it, you're just going to go, what is this? Just utterly bonkers that somebody who just struggles in a particular field of study is given a label? Well, that's really one of the great connectors, isn't it? Academic performance and a label. You don't perform well in school. What's the problem? It's not that you're being lazy. It's not that maybe you've got a tumultuous home life. No, it's that you've got ADHD. Why? Sorry. Gotta go sniffing the money source because there is a financial incentive to this lunacy called ADHD. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers. Paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, methinks you might have this backwards. This is Wretched Radio. You went sleuthing on our ADHD coach.
I did.
And what did you discover?
She has a book.
Ooh, what's it called?
Activate Your ADHD Potential.
No, you mean we could actually identify the way that you think and the way that you function and then guide you into a field or into a career or into a setting where you can function at peak performance level? No. Who'd have thought of that? Oh, yeah, Christians. I mean, honestly. So she's labeling everybody with ADHD, basically describing basic life stuff in clinical terms. Hey, are you a mom? And sometimes you just feel really harried because the kids are, getting them into the van is just such a difficult thing. Well, we can help you with your ADHD. What? What? That's just parenting is why everything is clinical and mental illness. And biblical counselors have been saying, how's about we simply identify people's giftings and then guide them in the right path? Which means that some kids aren't going to go to university. Some kids are going to go to tech school. Some kids, they might get an apprenticeship. Some kids, they might just go to work. Some kids, fancy this, might just decide, I want to be a mom. And I want to teach my kids to love Jesus. That sounds just ridiculous. How's about that's their desire? That's their gifting. And we point them in that direction. ADHD is all connected to academics. I'm telling, okay, maybe not all, but mostly. Maybe it's a lot of parents. You got yourself a kid who's got tons of energy. That's what we used to call ADHD. Kid's got a lot of energy. That sure does. You feeding that kid sugar? Why are they so amped up, that kid? But because they're a kid. And we used to recognize that and simply work with that. But the education system and some parents who just don't want to discipline their kids and do the hard work of parenting a kid that can be a little bit difficult, which, by the way, is also a gift. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? A kid who's just bouncing off the walls. Why do you have that kid? It's because you need that kid. You wouldn't have that kid if God didn't think you needed that kid. So it would appear if you've got a kid that's just a little bit more of a ping pong than the rest of the kids, then you needed him. You needed her to grow you, to help you become a better you. That's why God gives us difficult children, because you need that kid. Now this, by the way, is such a word of comfort. If you've got a kid that's like that and you've just been pulling your hair out, and maybe you've been getting angry at that child because they're just so hard, God decided, you're the one who needs that kid. I'm going to give you the gift of a kid who's a ping pong ball so that you can grow in patience, loving kindness, forbearance. And it's going to produce a settledness. And you're going to rely on me more. And you're going to understand how patient I am with you, ping pong ball. That's just a different way of looking at kids. And this woman now to say, okay, so we're going to label you clinically and then do the very thing that we're suggesting that we should be doing anyway. And how's about we maybe rethink the whole educational system? I'm not saying maybe most kids can do it. Some of us, we struggled. I could do it now, by the way. So what changed? Was I... You know what, Jimmy? I think it was the lion's mane got rid of my ADHD. Because when I was a kid, sitting in class, it was like, oh, just got to get out of here. I want to do something. And folks, you put me in a class now. Now, here's something interesting, too. Put me in a class of something I dig, and I'm in. If I don't dig it, it's not quite as enjoyable. Can I do it? Yes. But it's not as enjoyable. Would you now label me again with ADHD? You'd go, well, no, you just don't like it. And as an adult, if you don't have to be there, you got options. And so you want to exercise those options. Why would we have to call a kid who doesn't like algebra ADHD? And then to say, well, they got ADHD. So here's what I need to do. I'm going to be your ADHD coach. And I'm going to start pointing you in a direction that avoids algebra so that you can thrive and flourish. That's what we've been saying. And so, Jimmy, I think you got it backwards because you said we should send her Greg's book.
We should.
I think we should get her book and send it to Greg. Watch his head explode. Because what is...
Are
what
you
is,
mad at him?
What's the explanation of what the book is?
She says, throughout this book, you will gain tools and understanding of the inner workings of your own ADHD brain.
So she's going to explain science, is she? I'll bet not, because there is none. The inner workings of your ADHD brain. And her starting point is going to lead to a wrong destination. It has to. Because she doesn't understand we're image bearers. She doesn't understand God's fingerprints are all over each one of us. And this is the way that he's made us. She can't explain the inner workings. She can describe, if you want to call it, personality types. Okay, I prefer giftings. So if you happen to have the gifting of a short attention span, I'll bet that struck you funny, didn't it? Like, well, not like, haha, but like, what? Gifting of a short attention span, that's not a gift. Says who? And the answer is it depends on your authority. If your authority is some ADHD coach, by the way, what's her, can we, maybe she's got some sort of degree. It really doesn't mean much anyway. Yeah, what has she got? Clinical psychology.
Yeah, let me get back to that.
And she's got all kinds of secular therapy on her resume. And it's all about authority. Who gets to determine what is normative and what isn't? This extends beyond emotions. It extends beyond thinking. It also goes into physical. Who says what is beautiful? Now, I grant you, this can be a little tricky because I think we can identify certain types of faces that are just more seemingly pleasing than others because of symmetrics or it's prettier, it's more handsome. And I think we get that. But at the same time, who ultimately determines what should be considered beautiful? And the answer is God. What does God consider beautiful? I just don't see looks as being a part of it. And you know, I read once, I can't recall, it might have been, I can't remember. I think I know who it is, but I'm not sure. Oh, I think it was Randy Alcorn. Now I remember. You know, with the ADHD and all, sometimes I can't remember. I think I need a prescription for that. It was Randy Alcorn who said that if you could bring Adam and Eve into 21st century, I think that they would recoil at the deformity of the human form. And okay, because it's not perhaps the ideal form, but who determines what makes it pleasing or beneficial or better on a level of this is objectively better? And the answer is God does. It depends on your starting point. God is not knocked out by somebody who's a 10 in the looks department. With male or female, he's pleased with everything he makes because he makes it for his good pleasure and for his purposes. He desires things like a gentle spirit. Somebody who is loving him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's beautiful to God. Those are the things that are pleasing to God. Who determines these nuanced issues? The answer is God does. And so if you're going to an ADHD coach who has all kinds of diplomas from...
Well, she has a master's degree in students with disabilities from New York University,
uh-huh.
A bachelor's in elementary education from Penn State,
uh-huh.
And then she's a professional certified coach, life coach,
uh-huh.
And a board certified life coach.
From whom?
She doesn't say.
Yeah, who's the board and who's the licensor?
Yeah.
And who says that those people know what they're talking about? Authority is the key here. And the encouragement to Christians is to flat out reject the secular therapeutic authority. They don't know what they're talking about. If you, this is a 14-minute clip. Rachel sent this in. It's a 14-minute. You bop your way through it and your eyes are going to cross and you're going to be like, what in the world? What are these people? What did they come up with all of this nonsense? So there's so much of what they're describing is just right on the face of it, false and ridiculous and over-exaggerated. Isn't exaggerated already over? But the point is, the authority of these people needs to be rejected. And we need to go to the Bible. Encourage you, pre-order Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. Then you just when you're done with that, then erase the lies and put truth so that you can consider possibly helping us with our Truth Unhindered campaign. We desire to give all of our resources away. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be closing the store courtesy of you. If you'll join us on this match giving campaign, it's called Truth Unhindered, so we can close down the store and aggressively give stuff away. We're just going to impose our resources on people for free. Would you help us do that? You can at fortisinstitute.org/truth. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Louisiana's Attorney General is building a case against New York abortion doctor Margaret Carpenter, who's now accused of mailing deadly abortion pills to a second woman in the state, this time to a mother 20 weeks pregnant, far beyond the FDA's 10-week limit. After taking the pills, the woman delivered her baby, and then, according to the Attorney General, she and her boyfriend took the baby wrapped in a towel and threw it in a garbage can. Carpenter was already indicted for sending abortion pills to a Louisiana mother who allegedly forced them on her teenage daughter. And in Illinois, the state's unregulated abortion industry continues its reign of terror, with 6 women injured at abortion facilities in just 1 month. A 21-year-old woman required emergency transport from Flossmoor Planned Parenthood after a botched dilation and evacuation abortion left her with intractable pain so severe that even ketamine, fentanyl, and other drugs couldn't touch it. This is what safe abortion looks like in the abortion destination, Illinois. Meanwhile, in California, Governor Gavin Newsom wants taxpayers to bankroll his state as an abortion sanctuary by authorizing CalRx to directly purchase abortion pills. Newsom claims this will help circumvent politically motivated abortion restrictions because apparently helping women kill their children is a higher priority than protecting them from dangerous unregulated pills that have sent thousands to emergency rooms nationwide. And there's better news from Congress, where House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has promised that legislation to defund Planned Parenthood will pass next week despite a setback in committee. In a disturbing glimpse of America's possible future, a Brazilian woman faces criminal charges for the thought crime of noting that a human ancestor skeleton called Lucy was female. Police showed up at the lady's home, threatening arrest after she ridiculed a trans activist who claimed identifying Lucy as female based on her pelvic bone structure was transphobic. Back home, a Clinton-appointed federal judge overruled Florida's law protecting children from drag performances, allowing Naples Pride to host a drag show near a playground despite previous performances featuring men in fishnet stockings, just 100 feet away from where children play. In Virginia, Arlington County unanimously voted to shield illegal alien criminals, including MS-13 gang members, from ICE, prohibiting police from reporting arrests, even for violent felonies. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like a blind shed that finds a drawer in the squirrel twice a day. The New York Times wrote a good article. This is Wretched Radio. What you chuckling at?
I don't even know what you just said.
You know, the thing that we all say about, you know, it happens on occasion.
Occasion, yeah.
Yeah, like a clock is right twice.
Twice a day.
Twice a day.
That's right.
Is right twice a day. There we go. Right twice a day. Americans haven't found a satisfying alternative to religion. It's written by Lauren Jackson. She is not a believer. She's a former Mormon from Arkansas. Go ahead. You can just create that parody if you'd like to. Mormon from Arkansas. She walked away from her faith and she's recognizing there's something missing. And I think it represents the zeitgeist. It also represents the feeling of our day. It represents what I think a lot of kids are going through these days. For instance, Will Graham, he'd be the grandson of Billy Graham. He was on the Sean Hannity program. And he was saying, based on his travels, he's seeing it on campus. They're looking for real relationships. They're spiritually hungry. And we've seen that before, haven't we? Furthermore, according to a new study by Barna's State of the Church, commitment to Jesus has risen sharply among young men, jumping 15 percentage points between 2019 and 2025. Those are Gen Zers who should be listening to Adam Tyson's podcast, Way of Manhood, which you can find wherever you do your podcasting stuff. 19 percentage point up for millennials. There's something going on. Now, whether people are getting saved or not, we'll leave that to the Lord. But there seems to be a restlessness, and there should be, because people are out of sorts. Because when you are not focusing your life on the North Star, your direction, you're going to get lost, and you're going to end up in the Antarctic, and you're going to get frozen toes, and then they're going to have to take off your legs at the knee, and then you're going to get gangrene and die. That's what's going to happen if your life isn't guided by the North Star. UK research finds twice as many people making decisions for Jesus since the pandemic. This is the Changing Church. This was a research report published by Evangelical Alliance in the UK. Guess who is making up the big increase? Young men in particular are making professions of faith. Data showed average church attendance upsurging also 13 percentage points since January 2020. All that to say, these statistics back up what is palpable when you go to campuses. I'm telling you, you got to go. Just see for yourself. And hey, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. This isn't ready yet, but we're going to unleash this, I think, in July this year. We're going to give away a book I wrote on pornography because virtually every boy on campus is looking at this stuff. And I think that could be contributing to, I think, also this, it's not right. They look over the picket fence and they see a man and a woman being faithful to one another with kids running around. It's like, that looks nice. I'm going to go back to my XXX website and dabble in my smut all by myself. And I think that they're just, that's contributing to the weight of lostness, loneliness, anxiety. And so we're going to be giving away cards. We're not doing this now, but our desire is, it's got a QR code on it with what we think is a compelling message. Give it out to the boys. Give it out to the young men. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Might have conversations. Just here you go. Here you go. And by the way, you're going to think this is crazy. This is how transparent Gen Zs are. If you take one of these cards, which has the QR code to the book that I've written, and you give it to a kid and say, hey, is this something you struggle with? They're probably going to tell you the truth. Or they might downplay it a little bit, but I don't think they'll outright deny it. Like, hey, who do you think? They're just more willing to talk about this stuff. I think that's a bit of a generational thing, but I think it's also just a lostness thing. If you're an adult and you approach young people on campus earnestly, respectfully, interestedly, I'm telling you, they will respond to you. And I think all of these stats back that up. And I think this New York Times article, I think, did a bang-up job. Ow, I never thought, ow. New York Times article did a bang-up job revealing the restlessness that is caused by a lack of a North Star. She was an Arkansas Mormon. She left it all. And I spent my 20s worshiping at the altar of work and in my free time, testing secular ideas for how to live well. I built a community. I volunteered. I cared for my nieces and nephews. These are all components of the Christian life. I pursued wellness. I paid for workout classes on Sunday morning, practiced mindfulness, went to therapy, visited saunas, subscribed to meditation apps. I tried book clubs and running clubs. I cobbled together moral instruction from books on philosophy. And whatever happened to move me on Instagram, here it comes. Nothing has felt quite like that chapel in Arkansas. Now, of course, we'd reject what is going on there because Mormon theology is aberrant. It is not within orthodoxy. But there is something about the fellowship with God being the center of it, even when it's the wrong God, that helps people feel right. Why? Because that's the way we were made. We were made to worship God. Now, you're not going to have the full enjoyment and satisfaction and purposefulness and completeness and shalom that believing in the only true and living God brings. But it's still, even with a false God, it brings about something that secularism cannot provide. It's because of the way that we're wired. Eternity is written on our hearts. God's laws, we've got a conscience that bears witness. Not only that, baked into our DNA is the knowledge that God exists. And so this article reveals even when you're pursuing the wrong God, it still has benefits. How powerful is that? But she continues because I think it's helpful, illuminating. America's secularization was an immense social transformation. Yes, it was. Has it left us better off? People are unhappier than they've ever been, and the country is in an epidemic of loneliness. It is not just secularism that's to blame, but those without religious affiliation in particular rank lower on key metrics of well-being. Less connected, less spiritually at peace, less awe, less gratitude. If you happen to be a Gen Zer, could I encourage you, please, to stop visiting church, stop being a regular attender, join your church and start filling your Rolodex. Sorry, that was dated. Start filling your phone. What is it called? The thing on your cell phone?
Contact list.
Your contact list with Christians. And I know your hesitation. They're not cool. You're right. They're not. We Christians, we're not as hip as the kids at school that do all kinds of things that feeds the flesh that the Bible prohibits. But they'll be better for you. They'll be better for you. And you'll have deeper relationships. And you will feel loved deeper than you will with secular friends. Because you were made to be in fellowship with those whose focus is the Lord. There'll be more profound relationships. All right, let me just put it in therapeutic terms. Your well-being will increase because you are living the way that God intended you to live. Reject be hanging out with the cool kids. Hang out with the Christian kids. They might be dorky, but they're better for you. Back to the article. The country seems to be revisiting the role of religion. Yep. Secularization is on pause in America. That's according at least to Pew. There seems to be more interest. We're seeing this, aren't we? Wes Huff, the Canadian apologist, was on the Andrew Schultz podcast. I think it's called Fractured or something like that. It was a group of comedians. It was really just fascinating to watch, 3 hours long if you got the time. I watched about 15, 20 minutes of it. And it was intriguing to see these guys, none of them professing to be followers of Jesus Christ, ask questions. And they weren't asking them like, so the person on Boingo Boingo is going to hell, huh? It wasn't that way at all. So what do you say about the people then who never hear about this Jesus Christ that you're saying is the way, the truth, and the life? That's how they were talking. Now, that doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't even mean they're closer to being saved. But it does mean, I think now, to me, we are seeing enough evidence that we might be having a cultural moment because secularism has shot itself in the foot. And we're seeing people go, you got any answers? You got any solutions to this? I have served as a chaplain at Harvard for 25 years, quoting a Harvard chaplain named Tammy McLeod. I've served at Harvard for 25 years as a chaplain, and the interest in and openness to religion and spirituality has never been higher on campus. Demographers, psychologists, sociologists, statisticians offer the same explanations. Americans simply haven't found a satisfying alternative to religion.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Didn't need the pandemic to tell us this. This is Wretched Radio. Shockingly, the New York Times, really well-written article by a former Mormon who's talking about the God-shaped hole in her heart, which actually exists. Problem was, we evangelicals, we turn that into the gospel. If you got that hole and you recognize it, Jesus will fill it. That's not the gospel. It's an effect of the gospel. But the reality is, Pascal was right. Same, by the way, Augustine was right. Florida. Well, Florida could be right about this too. We are built to know and worship God. We didn't need the pandemic to reveal, wow, we feel kind of lonely on the inside. Of course we do. When you are not following God, you're going to be out of sorts. And interestingly, whether these demographers, these different surveyors, the Barnas, the Pews, Ryan Berge, all of these people that are discovering that people are feeling the effects of not worshiping God, they actually, even people who don't follow Jesus Christ, feel the effects of following small g God, because that's at least they're kind of, I don't want to say in the ballpark in a salvific way, but at least they're like sort of in the game. And it's helpful to the New York Times article, actively religious people tend to report they are happier than people who don't practice religion. Religious Americans are healthier too, significantly less likely to be depressed or to die by suicide, alcoholism, cancer? Wow, that's interesting. Cardiovascular illness or other causes. In a long-term study, doctors at Harvard found that women who attended religious services once a week were 33% less likely to die prematurely than women who never attended. Well, Harvard got that right. Their hiring practices are a bit of a problem. Wow, did you see that? Man, Scylla, this is how you hire people. You need to ask them about their ethnicity, their sexuality, and their gender. Those are the criteria that get used when it comes to hiring at Harvard. It unless something like groundbreaking is revealed, it's clear they have quotas. This is DEI and CRT all in action at Harvard. Religiously affiliated Americans are more likely to feel gratitude, spiritual peace, and a deep sense of connection with humanity. Wow, we could use that, couldn't we? Oh, was having a conversation. Was that Laura? I think. Yeah, we were in the lobby at church after my topical sermon on Sunday. And we were talking about, she was saying they went out to a restaurant and it wasn't a fast food kind of place, especially in California. I think you're seeing a proliferation of the stands where you come in to the McDonald's because the wages are so high per hour. They've replaced them with computers. So you have to place your own order. So she was saying they went to a restaurant, and I believe in Chicago, and it was a better restaurant. And they had to do that at a good, like at more of a sit down kind of slightly more formal kind of place. They had to place their order, pick up their order, carry their order to the table. And while they were paying for their order, they were asked for a tip. Oh, man. That just... And she was commenting on how it's just another way that we are forsaking community, that we just don't talk and interact. And that has been the lament of a lot of people who are observant for centuries now, that our interaction with other human beings continues to be compromised. It's lessened in our transactions. I don't really need to interact with you. I don't need to haggle with you. I'll give you a chicken if you give me that wheelbarrow. No, okay. I'll put some nice topsoil in the wheelbarrow, and I'll give you two chicken. That's like an interaction. Now we just do transactions very quickly, and it is another advancement that has compromised human flourishing. I even saw Bill Maher talk about this when he was talking about the trucks and the automated trucks that they can steer themselves. We've got to ask ourselves the question, what does technology do to human flourishing and interaction? We see less and less of that these days. And guess what? People are out of sorts when they don't have it. Why? Secularists can't explain it, but the Bible can. We're meant to be in community. Why? Because our God, whose image we bear, is in community with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so people with any connection to religion feel more connected to humanity, and that is a good thing. Positive relationships are the single most important predictor of well-being. That's a long-term study about happiness in the world. The data shows people without religion are faring worse than those who practice one. Once again, I would say to you, if you're young, you want to live longer? Have Christian friends. Have friends that share the value of Jesus Christ. That's the biggie. Not your rugby pal. That's something you've got in common. And this is something that you're going to learn. You're going to learn that when you go to work,
You're going to have a lot of acquaintances. But outside of that work contact, you're not going to talk to most people there because you've got something very not powerful that keeps you together. You go to work to get a paycheck. And that's what forms your community. But as soon as that work, somebody gets a different job, you probably aren't going to hear from them again. Why? Because you just didn't have much in common. When you have a Christian friend, you're going to have that in common forever. No matter what you're doing for a living, no matter where they transfer, having Christian friends is good for you. Now, from the article in the New York Times, I decided to call Richard Dawkins because she had been talked out of her religion by Richard Dawkins. I wanted to know what he made of the fact that America's secularization has stagnated. So this is her conversation with Richard Dawkins. For ethics, he encouraged people, you don't have to go to God, don't have to get involved in religion. This was the advice from one of the greatest thinkers of our time. Take civics classes and host a weekly discussion club. For community, play golf. Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Dawkins. It ain't cutting it. He said he understood that churches in particular could provide moral instruction. He said he valued the ethical teachings of Jesus as a man. Well, that's not sufficient. And by the way, Richard Dawkins clearly has not studied the ethical teachings of Jesus. When people say that, like anybody says that, I'm like, you really don't get it. And even if you're Jordan Peterson, you probably read the New Testament more than Richard Dawkins has. He just doesn't get it. He's got a veil. Because the ethical teachings of Jesus, it's not like help little old ladies across the street. Always bring a dish to pass at Thanksgiving. Speak nice words about people. Now, then, those may or may not be in there, but Jesus' moral teachings are die to yourself. You're living a life in rebellion to God. Repent and put your trust in me. Die to self. Live for me. See yourself as a totally depraved sinner in need of salvation. Repent and trust. I'll give it to you. Those are the moral and ethical teachings of Jesus. Die to self. Put others before yourself. Richard Dawkins doesn't want to do it. Richard Dawkins has himself in first place all the time. He insisted people should be able to fulfill their spiritual desires outside of faith. Quote, it should be quite easy to show documentary films, David Attenborough films, Carl Sagan films, Neil deGrasse Tyson films. I wonder why people are committing suicide. There are lots of substitutes to spirituality that those can provide. No, they can't. And then comes the conclusion to this article, which I appreciate the honesty from this woman. She's a good writer. I appreciate the New York Times putting this in there. I recognize, though, my spiritual longings persist no matter what she does. To try to feel connected. When you're disconnected from God, you are untethered. Back to the article. And it hasn't been sealed by secularism. I want a God. Small g. I live an ocean away from that small Arkansas chapel, but I still remember the bliss of finding the sublime in the mundane. I still want it all to be true. Miracles, souls, some sort of cosmic alchemy that makes sense of the chaos. It's because it's written in the human heart. For years, she wrote, I haven't been able to say that publicly, but it feels like something is changing. Now, I don't know which change she means, but I think she means the culture. That maybe the culture is shifting, she writes. That maybe we're starting to recognize it's possible to be both believing and discerning after all. Well, I'm not going to pick a nit with that. Because the exclamation point is, there ain't no replacement for God. And right now, culturally, your coworkers, you don't even have to go to university, your coworkers, they are sensing this ain't working because it's not. And we've got the truth. Now, we don't want to turn God into the fulfillment center. Hey, you won't feel lonely. You won't feel blue. Now, those are benefits, but that ain't the gospel. The gospel is judicial. forgiveness of sins in Christ only. You get yourself in alignment with the true and living God, and you have no idea what an abundant life is. They seem to be waiting for you to share. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.